Glad the potter knows the clay. Having your Bibles tonight, turn with me, if you will, 2 Kings chapter number 4. 2 Kings chapter number 4. My name is Dale Aguiar. Many of you I have just met tonight, and I appreciate the good time of fellowship. For the last 30 years, we have helped small, struggling churches around the United States. Many of you might not understand the thought, but just thinking for a moment, last year there was over 850 Baptist churches that closed their doors in America. I'm not talking about Methodists, I'm not talking about Pentecostals, I'm talking about Baptist churches that have closed their doors. Over 850 Baptist churches. I pastored in Germany for 5 years. God allowed me to help start two works with my dad over there, and as I worked there helping my dad. I ended up pastoring the second church, Faith Baptist Church. And in those 5 years in the wilderness of Germany, God began to direct my heart to what would be taking place later in our ministry. I remember in 1989, November, after a good service, God laid it on my heart. We had excellent meetings. I'm talking about good. We had preacher boys in the church. We gave 30-some thousand to missions. This was 1989. God was just being great, and no bills on the church, no problems in the church. And God said, I want you to come back to America and help small churches. Amen. We packed up, and on the month of March of 1990, we went ahead and boarded Lufthansa Airline and came back to America to help small, struggling churches. The last 30, March made 30 years. Last 30 years, we have been working with churches that cannot afford for somebody to come in. We've been helping churches that are low in attendance. The average church we help normally runs 15 to 25 folks. That's the average church we help. We do get into some of the bigger ones every now and then. But our desire, what we have is trying to just be a blessing to smaller churches. Could you imagine what it's like to maybe just be in a spot where you're discouraged, no visitors have come in, and then all of a sudden somebody comes in and helps you without charging a dime? Can you imagine what it's like when maybe different parts of the building has gone down because of low attendance, and have somebody just come in and help you do whatever's needed on the building without charging a dime? And I'm just thinking, as we went ahead and I built baptistries, built steeples, built handicap ramps, added additions onto church buildings, remodeled, rewired, re-roofed, never charging a church a dime. My main desire is trying to help churches. I was talking with one of the preachers, and I didn't realize how small the world was, but I mentioned how we did some work in New York, and one of the first churches we helped was the Calvary Bible Baptist Church, Elkridge, New York, and went in and just helped that church. The pastor said, Brother Aguiar, it's been 6 months since we've seen a first-time visitor. He says, what do you think we ought to do? I said, that's easy. Let's go door knock. I think that's the best way to get visitors. I really do.
Amen.
So we actually ended up staying with that church for 4 weeks, helping door knock, and we knocked over 2,000 doors, giving the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was over 2 years since I even saw anybody saved. I never will forget that third Sunday. Church normally ran 30, 35 folks. That third Sunday, there were 72 folks in attendance. It does make a difference to go door knocking. I will say that it makes a difference. And even after we left, they kept going. And folks got, y'all have seen it on that Wednesday night, one of the Wednesday nights we was there. We was only there 4 weeks. Y'all have seen it that Wednesday night. Here it is, one of the ladies. We knocked on the door. She came, got under Holy Ghost conviction, got at the altar at the invitation, crying out for God to speak. It does make a difference. And just trying to help churches. But for the last 30 years, we've been in different meetings across America, helping churches, working with them on their buildings, working with them door knocking. We also have a tent, a 38 by 68, and we'll be setting up the tent. In fact, in about 2.5, 3 weeks, something like that, we'll be setting up the tent down in Texas where it's a little bit warmer, but we'll be setting it up for this particular tent, the 187th time. preaching the Word of God.
So
God's used the tent, one of the tools that we use in helping churches. We're just grateful that God's allowed us to take a part in small, struggling churches, no matter what church it might be. Dad went to Tennessee Temple. Many of you might have known at one time the Highland Park Baptist Church. Tremendous church at that time in the 70s, doing something great for the Lord.
Amen.
That church once started as a small church. That church once had the congregation size that you once had in your church. But the Bible says, let us not be weary in well-doing. You know, I always took that and used it in a personal sense, but it was actually talking to the churches of Galatia. Not to get weary in well-doing, because in due season we'll reap if we faint not.
Amen.
14 years ago or so, we joined with the Walker Springs Road Baptist Church. 14 years ago, they were running between 35 and 40 folks. Today, they're far from 35 and 40 folks. It's a blessing when you go in on a Wednesday and a Sunday night, if Christmas isn't going on, you know what I'm talking about, like everybody visiting someone else, and you see over 200 and some folks, it's a blessing. You say, what happened? Due date came. We got around the due date. And small churches one day will reach the due date. So I'm thankful for the ministry that God's put in our heart. Appreciate his heart. What he's a fellow evangelist in our church, and what a blessing it is. Appreciate the good message of the Word of God.
Amen.
And all that God has done. 2 Kings chapter number 4. If you found your places and you're able, would you stand with me? Let's read a portion from the Word of God, 2 Kings chapter 4. We do have King James Bible. I take them around everywhere I go. It's hard to find in some places a good King James Bible. You go to the average Christian Crick store, and they're going to charge you an arm and a leg. There are some Bibles there that you will find a lot cheaper than the Christian Crick stores that might be around, but we do make those available for you if you'd like to have a good King James Bible. 2 Kings chapter number 4. It is a blessing being here at my son-in-law's church. Appreciate Ethan and the good time we've had and all the good things that have taken place and doing a great job here. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. The Bible says, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed a Shunem where there was a great woman. And she constrained him to eat bread. Could you imagine constraining a Baptist preacher to eat bread? Just imagine that. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick, and it shall be when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. If you notice in verse 9, she said to her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God.
Amen.
I just want to give you some thoughts this evening on this thought. Is there a holy man of God around us? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I pray your will might be done. I pray you'll speak to hearts and lives. Lord, tonight I stand before some of the great men that have stood over the test of time, and Lord, many men that are just starting in the churches. Lord, what a blessing it is to stand before great men like this. Father, I pray that you might use the message. Lord, would you encourage hearts? Father, I pray you'll use it tonight. May the men of God be drawn closer. Lord, may they be brought a little bit nearer to your side. Lord, that they might minister to the people. And Lord, that they might be known as an holy man of God. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. An interesting passage of Scripture. We come to this spot and we notice this woman has went ahead and on a day, on a basis where the man of God would pass by, she's went ahead and fed him. There is one thing I have to admit about men of God, they like to eat.
Amen.
And here it is, this woman has went ahead and she's made the bread and she's done the different things, but in the course of the mealtime, in the course of maybe hearing what he had to say, she said this, I perceive that this is an holy man of God. There was something about this man of God, there's something about this man that made her begin to think, hey, listen, he's not like all the other ones. He's not like the one down at the temple. He's not like that. He is an holy man of God. And so I'm just thinking tonight about this thought of a holy man of God. There's a lot of views that we could look at, but I'm just thinking, what calls her to see that he was a holy man of God? Do you realize wherever you're pastoring at, wherever you're ministering at, people are watching you every day. They're looking at you. They're watching the way you're at Walmart. They're watching when you're gassing up. They're watching what you're doing in town. They're watching the business that you do. And I'm asking you this thought, do they see you as an holy man of God?
Good.
There's some that sit here, I'm thinking for a moment, here in America, I just got back from Florida, and it bothers me that there's not many folks, not many churches standing for the truth, and not many churches standing for what's right. Some pastors, it looks like they're headed to the beach to be the lifeguard instead of being a preacher there in the community giving the word of God. I'm wondering, is there an holy man of God?
Good.
As I'm beginning to think for just a moment, what would be some of the things that we would admit that would make an holy man of God? If you notice with me in verse number 9, it is interesting. She did not say a holy man, but she did say a holy man of God. I noticed one thing about this preacher, that he belongs to God. He's not a mama called and a papa sin. He's not one that's going ahead and doing it because, my relatives want me to do it, or because daddy was a preacher, or mama wanted me. Here it is. He realizes, I'm here because of the will of God. I'm here to stay. It doesn't matter what folks say. I'm going to go ahead and stick with it. He was a person that belonged to God. He was not somebody that was man-bought. Didn't matter if the deacons liked him or not, he was going to stick around. Didn't matter if the congregation liked him or not, he was going to give the word of God. He wasn't man-born. He wasn't money manipulated, money bribed whatsoever. It didn't matter if the paycheck comes in, he's still going to preach the word of God. I'm talking about an holy man of God. Somebody that belongs to God. You are acquainted with many different ones that go ahead, and here it is, they'll go ahead and make you feel good with the television, make you feel good on the radio, and say, send you your tithes to me. And I'm thinking, oh, we need someone that'll just give the truth of the word of God. Your community needs someone that belongs to God, not someone that's been modernly brainwashed with the teaching of the world. I'm talking about a person that belongs to God.
Amen.
Looking at this thought of a holy man of God, I believe, first of all, and I'm just giving you a few thoughts, he belongs to God. I also notice not only belonging to God, but I believe he believes like God. You know, there's a lot of different ones that have some strange beliefs. Now, don't get me wrong, I go to independent, fundamental Baptist churches. That's where I go. Those are the type of churches I get in. But I found there's some fundamentals that are more fundamental than fundamental. Never will forget, we was in West Virginia one time, and we was without a meeting. We had our camper. We pulled into the campground, and here it is. You know, back then they had these booths that had these yellow pages. Boy, there you could go ahead and thumb through. I looked up Baptist, and I found the independent Baptist. We're talking about West Virginia. You know, you can find a lot of things in those yellow pages. There's a lot of independent Baptists. We're without a meeting. Here it is. I'm thinking, where in the world should I go on Sunday morning? So I did something real spiritual. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. What Baptist church shall I go? We're going to this one. So here it is. I never forget. We got to this one, and they had a sign up. It said, visitors by appointment only. Big gate. Tall trees. You didn't even see the building. Just saw the name of the church. At that time, all five of our children were in the car with us, small that they were. And I kid my wife, I said, wouldn't this be funny if this was a snake handling church? Well, you know what? It was. You know, I'm just thinking, we need some different ones that just believe like God. There's some garbage going on in America. There's some garbage that's taking place. The Calvinistic group is coming into the Baptist church and all the different folk. Hey, listen, we need some that just believe right on doctrine, believe right on discipline, believe right on the days that are left. We don't have much time. We just need someone that believes right. The community's looking at you tonight.
Right.
And they're wondering, are you an holy man of God? Do you believe like God? I will say this, if you believe like God, there's going to be some stands you're going to take.
That's right.
It doesn't matter what the Supreme Court said, abortion's still murder, no matter what you think about it. It's wrong. That alternate lifestyle they call, it's still an abomination in the sight of God. Hey, listen, and I'm just wondering, is there a man of God that'll go ahead and say, I'm going to believe like God, I'm going to stand for what's right, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm just saying here, I know someone that belongs to God, someone that believes like God. I'm trying to get to the message. I notice there's ones that behave like God. Really bothers me traveling around to some of these churches. It just seems like, I'm not sure in some of the churches we stepped in, if we stepped into a church or in honky-tonk. I'm just being honest with you. I look up at the choir, and as I look at the choir, I begin to see different things and notice different things. Oh, would to God we would have churches that just behave the right way. I never will forget the first time I walked into the Westside Baptist Church, Dr. James W. Crumpton. I remember that. And here it is, a woman stands up at the invitation, weeping and crying, and she stood before the congregation and said, I want you to forgive me. I know it's wrong. I know what I've done is wrong. Committing adultery is wrong. And here stood before the church, because the church has some beliefs that you just can't live the way you want to live and be a member in the church. I'm just talking about behaving like God. People's looking at you. They're trying to notice, is there a difference between the holy and the profane? If you notice with me here, I notice this man of God, when he would come by, in verse number 9, it says he came by continually. I think the man of God needs to be continual in what he believes. I believe he needs to just be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Hey, listen, not one time, here it is, you're for it. One time you're against it, and then going back and forth. Mind, you're like a double-minded man, tossed to and fro with the waves of this world. Hey, listen, we need some folks that would just stick with it and believe like God believes. Talking about, is there a holy man of God? Timothy was instructed, continue in the things which thou hast heard. We're living in a day when they went ahead and they've taken the psalm books and they've kicked them out, and now we sing 9 verses of the same little phrase over and over and over again, and over and over and over again, and over and over, and my, oh my, continue in the things that thou hast heard. My, they went ahead and changed our Bibles out. They went ahead and tried to bring us some other time. Hey, listen, we need to continue in the things that we have heard. I'm asking, is there a holy man of God in your community? Can the world see somebody behaving like God? I'm just thinking for a moment, and I'm looking now at our text, but I want to try to give you, I'm wondering, is there a holy man of God? I was reading in the book of Daniel chapter 5 and verse 11, you recall with me when the writing came on the wall of the king's palace, nobody could understand it. The king didn't know what to do, and the queen, she makes mention, she says, there's a man in thy kingdom in whom the spirit of the holy God, in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him. As I read about that, I do notice this one thought, that in this wicked party, Daniel was not there. You say, why? He was behaving like a man of God. But I want you to notice, and I want to maybe just spend a little bit of time on this last thought that I have for you. We notice belonging to God, believing like God, behaving like God. But I noticed the benefits of an holy man of God. There's 4 different benefits that we find in this passage of Scripture for a holy man of God. If you notice with me, the first one that's given here, there's a bed that is mentioned there in verse number 10. She says, let us make a little chamber, I pray, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed. I'm thinking about the bed of restoration. I pastored in Germany for 5 years. We had a military church, and I don't know if you realize this, but military churches, there's always major problems going on. I remember one night, here it is, about 2 or early in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, 1 in the morning, something like that. I'm already in bed. We're already been sleeping for a few hours, and all of a sudden the phone rings, and this person needs help. My, here it is. They're upset with their husband. They're going to go ahead. They're going to get a divorce. Brother, preacher, pastor, can you come over? Young, dumb. I go over. The good thing is I take my wife with me. I found out a long time ago, if you want to avoid some of the snares of the devil, it's good to have your wife with you. The devil's opened up a lot of doors, and there was a lot of avenues for sin to take place. But I found when the wife's with you, a lot of things can be avoided. Sure enough, there was some problems there. We got to the door, and the woman wasn't even dressed right. My wife, she says, well, after you get yourself dressed right, we'll come in. It's good to have your wife with you. I'm just telling you, preacher, something. It's good to have your wife with you. Well, we tried to talk a few weeks pass. We get this call, 2 o'clock in the morning. I've already preached Sunday night. I preach Sunday morning. I'm tired. Do you know how you feel after you preach? Wore out. And 2 o'clock now, Monday morning, early, the phone rings, and here it is, this person says, Brother Aguilar, Pastor, you're going to have to come over. I'm going to divorce my wife if you don't. And God gave me some. I don't know if it was inspired or not. But I said, where in the world will you get a divorce at 2 in the morning? You know, I found out after I told him, if you'll just take and read these verses and spend an hour praying, I'll come by and see you at 8 o'clock when people are up. Just think it for a moment. Sometimes working in the ministry, it gets tiresome. I'm talking, I know what it's like to have a small church. I know what it's like when everything's on top of you. But here, the man of God was given a bed, a place to get restored. You remember that day when Jesus went ahead and they fed the 5,000 men, and then the women, then the children, the teenagers. Now, we've had a meal here tonight. These ladies have worked, they've done different things. Now, it's been a little bit tiresome for the 30, 40 folks that we might have here. Could you imagine 5,000? But it wasn't the women, it was the disciples. They were the ones passing out the fish and hush puppies. They were the ones giving it out to the different ones. And I want you to know, after 5,000 men plus everybody else, they were wore out. Maybe the way you're wore out after preaching Sunday morning, Sunday night. Jesus gets the disciples and says, come here. He says, you see that spot over there? I want to meet with you right over there. Get in the boat, and I'll meet you over there. And he pushes that boat with the disciple. I'll meet you over there. Isn't it amazing that the Lord gave a bed for them? A place to come apart.
Yes.
You know, we can get so busy in our ministry. We can get so hung up. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe you ought to fulfill your ministry. But we can get so busy that we get burned out. Lord said, I want you to come apart. It doesn't say the exact words, but I'll say this. You need to come apart before you come apart. Here there's a spot to get a rest. Do you realize the church isn't built on you, it's built on the Lord. It will make it through without you getting every call at 2 o'clock in the morning. I found out that the church that I was pastoring, that small church, even though there might have been things, you know, they could wait till after I got finished eating. And I made it a point not to answer the phone when I was eating. You say, why? Because it's good to come apart every now and then. It's good to get a break. Hey, it's good for the preacher and the preacher's wife to have a spot where there's a break. I'm just saying, here, there's a benefit from God. Restoration. If you notice with me, not just a bed that we find, but we also notice that there's also a table. When I think about a table, I like the table. Boy, I like to sit down and eat. I like to, and here I notice the provisions that God has done. I know what it's like being the pastor of a small church. I was in Germany. I was not a missionary. I was a pastor. The visa that I had at the particular time did not allow me to even have a job. If it did, I would have had it. Being just a pastor, I watched everything go way down. Church went down. Uncle Sam took out over 80% of our members in 3 months. You know, you're doing pretty good with 100 people, but let 80 of them get taken out within 3 months. It's hard to have a good enough visitation program to build that. So our income went way down. I can remember times when the Lord taught me what it meant to pray and give us this day our daily bread. I know what it was like when my wife cooked the meal and she says there's nothing left in the cupboard. I know what that's like. I know what it was like when the insurance was due, the electric was due, all the bills was left. I know what that's like. But I found out that God said I have a table that I prepared. And I started to think for just, we ate the last meal in the house one night. Here it is in our little church, and my wife made it enough for us to have seconds. What a blessing. But now, nothing. I'm talking about nothing in the cupboard, nothing in the refrigerator. It was the very last meal. And I remember looking at my wife and saying, God will provide. You know how much. And deep down inside, I'm saying, I hope he does. We're sitting down eating that meal, the last meal in the house. Before we got up, there was a knock on the door. One of the church members said, Brother Aguilar, we thought about you, went to the commissary. I'm talking about, you remember those big brown grocery bags? 8 bags, heaping and running over. I'm talking about a God that will provide the table. He's given us a bed. He's given us a table. And David said, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I'm not seeing the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. I'm saying here, God gave a table. And I watched time after time how God supplied the need, how God went ahead and took care of, how God went ahead. Hey, listen, we serve a good God. There is a bed, the benefit of bed. There is a benefit of a table. And then if you notice with me, found in our text, there is the benefit of the stool. The stool was a place where he could go ahead and come for a place of instruction. It's a place where he could go ahead and sit up there and begin to maybe look at scrolls, maybe look at books, maybe look at different, and learn from the things of God. Can I say the Bible's the main book, and every time a preacher preaches, it ought to be this book and not some other book. But I will say this, there are some books that you can get that will help your life, that will help you in your preaching. Paul mentioned it while he was in prison, when you come, bring the parchment, but especially bring the books. I can learn some things. Sometimes we get to the spot where we think we've arrived, and we've learned all there is to learn. You said, Brother Aguirre, what if I'm at that spot? Then get in the book and learn something new.
Amen.
I'm just noticing there's a stool here. There's a spot for you to learn. There's a spot for you to grow a little bit more. You say, Brother Aguirre, I've read that passage time and time and time and time again. But yet, maybe if you read it one more time, it might just be all it takes. Hey, listen, no matter who you might be, you might just get something that you've never seen before.
Amen.
There was a stool, a place to learn. Traveling around the country, most of the time I'm doing a lot of the preaching. I actually look forward to camp meetings. I look forward to Jubilee meetings. I look forward to Bible conferences, where sometimes there is another preacher that comes in, and I'm back-to-back preaching with another preacher, and as he preaches, I'm not looking in any way to critique him.
Right.
I'm not looking how to correct him. And all as he opens up the Bible and says, Lord, what I'm looking for is for you to teach me.
Amen.
Now, you can learn something if you're willing to learn.
Right.
Oh, here there's a stool. There's a benefit for every preacher. I'm wondering, is there a holy man of God that can recognize, I still need the book. I still need to learn what God has. Right. The benefit. I notice here there's a table. I notice there's a bed. I notice there's a stool. And I give you the last thought. It's found in our text. There's also a candlestick. The candlestick is a place where we can get light. The candlestick's a spot where it can begin to illuminate. It's a place where we can begin to see some things. I encourage you to search the scriptures. You'll find in the book of Luke chapter 15, the woman that lost the piece of silver. And the Bible says here, she looked everywhere and she couldn't find it. But then she lit a candle. It does make a difference when light comes around. It gives you a different look on things. Oh, many times the way we were brought up, we have one look on things. Maybe the way mom and dad brought us up, and I'm not saying nothing negative, the environment we were in, the school that we were in, the different community activity, and we got this one spot. Oh, but we need a little bit of the light to begin to shine that we might see things properly. There's a candlestick that can help us and can illuminate things to where we might be able to see it right. After all, it was some light that began to shine in your life.
Yes.
Because the God of this world had blinded your mind, blinded the eyes of them that believe not. And the God of the world had it all darkened. And I want you to know that same God of this world is still trying to blind even a preacher's eyes to where he doesn't see different things taking place. Oh, what to God, the candlestick would be lit once again. Every now and then I like getting around different types of preachers. I like getting around rough preachers. Now don't get me wrong, I go up north a lot. We go to the northern areas. They are very sophisticated. You get in church, you don't move. You gotta be a statue. Well, I break that rule every time I get in. You're not supposed to say anything. That really messes me. I'll shout, I'll say amen, hallelujah. They don't know what to do with it.
Right.
I say amen, they look at me like I got a third nostril. You know, it's really funny though, I get there in those churches, and all I do is take the word of God, and I just open it up, begin to start reading, begin to start preaching. And it doesn't matter how long you've been saved or how short you've been saved, that light begins to shine there. Oh, and it begins to illuminate. It begins to, you know what light will do? It'll thrill you. I was talking to a preacher one time. He said, Brother Aguirre, how can I get our church a little bit more lively? How can I get it to where they're more lively? I said, get rid of the dull lights in your church. Brighten it up. Make it look like something worthwhile. It looks like a funeral home. I said, I wouldn't want to shout in a funeral home. I said, make it look like a somewhere live. You know, have you ever seen the baseball stadium? I remember I went. They had lights everywhere. People were shouting. People were doing different crazy things. Hey, go ahead and get some light. And I like it when we get the light of the Word of God in our churches. Oh, and the man of God can preach. He can give out the Word of God. It doesn't matter who likes it. Oh, I'm just thinking here. I see the candlestick. Something that can shed some light on the subject. Light will help you clearly see. Light will help you clearly see, and light will help you clean up what you can see. The reason we got a lot of churches, it's not too clean, there's not enough lights. There's a candlestick. Oh, how we need the candlestick. This woman, she just says, I perceive that this is an holy man of God. I ask you a question tonight. Are you a holy man of God? The woman saw with Elisha. If I could walk into your community and just go and begin to ask folks, what do you think of this preacher at this church? What would they say? Many years ago, I was over in the southeastern part of Georgia. This was when our kids was home. My son, he's our oldest. He was getting ready to get married, and so he was looking for the nice tux. And my son wanted one of those top hats. A 19-year-old boy wanting a top hat. But anyway, I went ahead and started looking for the top hat. We went to a place and we found it. And I said, "Where do you go to church?" He said, "Where?" I said, "Can I invite you out?" And I mentioned the name of the church, Camden Baptist Temple. That person says, "I know the preacher." You know what I said? "What do you know about it?" Now, that's a loaded question. And I said, "What do you know about it?" That person said, "If there's an honest person in this town, it's that preacher." I went over to another spot, totally different, about four blocks away. I was there. I said, "You go to church anywhere?" I was trying to get folks just to come to church. "Well, I don't know. Why don't you come to Camden Baptist?" "Oh, I know the preacher." I said, "What do you know about it?" "If there's a righteous man in the town, he's a righteous man." I wondered tonight, if I went to the restaurant that you frequent quite often, what would they say about you? I'm wondering, is there a holy man of God? I wonder if I went to the spot where you do business at. I wonder if I went to the credit union where you take out a loan. Can they say there's a holy man of God? This woman said, "I perceive there's a holy man of God." If you're a holy man of God, there's a bed for you. There's a table for you. There's a stool for you. There's a candlestick for you. Amen. You can see that he passed by many times, and we get refreshed by what this woman had for him. I'm asking the question, are you a holy man of God? Would you stand with me tonight? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, simple thoughts that we find in the Word of God. Lord, I'm just wondering, is there a holy man of God? Lord, in the different towns, the different cities represented here, is there a holy man of God, somebody that is found that belongs to you, somebody that believes like you, somebody that behaves like you? Lord, is there a holy man?